Today is Wednesday, April 3rd. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're in the beginning of Perek Yudchet, the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Okay, Rabotai. No, that's not it. There's over there. They have on plenty of them over there. At the end, over there, they have extras there. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to the beginning of Parshat Vayera, Perek Yudchet, and we read Pasuk Dalet and Hey last week. And I want to begin by providing for you Abarbanel's response to some of the questions which he raised. So if you remember, the question that he raised on Pasuk Dalid was, Yukach Na Me'at Mayim. Na is typically a request, a special request. Rashi usually comments on the word na, lashon bakasha. So why does he have to beg them to drink some water? Yukach na ma'at mayim. Secondly, asks Abarbanel, why is a 99-year-old person who just had surgery, why is he running around to do all of this himself when he has plenty of available help in the house? And he quoted the pasuk that Abraham had 318 people, servant men, people walking around who tended to his needs. So of all the days where it's boiling hot and he's got plenty of help, why is he doing this himself? So I want to start today by reading the Abarbanel's answer to the second question, because he doesn't really provide a satisfactory answer for the first question, and I'm not... Okay. And then I will show you the Ramban, who answers the question about the word na a little differently. There are extra sheets, extra copies over there. Only three left? Wow. Does anybody have double? Here you go. Okay, no, there's enough. I made 45 copies. Okay, so we are on... We are on page 1. I bracketed, as I told you, it's very long, Abarbanel's, and he writes, Avot Tziva HaTzadik Cain, the great righteous one Avraham, instructed Lehotzi Mimeno HaSolet Shehi HaMubchar VaHanaki MeHaKemach. We'll get to that a little later, in 2 seconds, but it's in the next line. V'chein hishtadel larutz be'atzmo el habakar. He made the effort to run to the animals. V'lakachat misham biyadav. And he himself dragged the animal. Ben bakar, rach vatov, a little calf that was soft and very good. Lo shiyochlu, lo shiyachshov, shiyochlu oto kulo. It's not that Avraham is taking a calf or three calves based on the fact that he wants to generate the impression that each one of these three people are going to eat a whole calf. Ela mipnei kvodam. This is simply as an honorable statement. Shiyaviu lifnehem tavshilim harbe. They will bring tons and tons of food. Tzli'esh, roasted food. Uvashol mivushal, and cooked foods, yochelu, that phrase comes from the Korban Pesach, where the Torah says, al tochlu mimenu na uvashol mevushal, don't eat it raw, and don't eat it cooked, ki im sli'esh umatzot, so that's where he borrowed that phrase from. And that you prepare food in a multitude of ways. That you're supposed to take roasted food and cooked foods, yochelu mashi yochelu. They will eat as much or as little as they would like. So why did he do it? Ki chein ra'ui lifnei milachim va'anashim gidolim kamut mehamazon yoter rav mimashi yochelu. At king's meals, what is put on the table is 20 times more that you normally need. And it's not only kings, it's at all of your tables. That's the way a Yiddish mama cooks, which 50 times more than you actually need. And you all learned it from Avram, of course. That's right. That's the simple pshat. However, he acknowledges now that there is a midrash, and he says, it's not bad, that particular midrash. Ve'eino rachok etzli, and it's not so terribly far-fetched, shelokach gimul b'nei bakar. Why did he take three calves? Kidei laha'achilam gimul lishonot bechardal, because he wanted to feed them each one a tongue, an entire tongue, with mustard. Okay? That's the proof that you're supposed to eat tongue with mustard. Because the Abarbanel said so. So if you want to give each one of them a full tongue, you needed three b'nei bakar. V'zeh lihiyoto ma'achal mishubach. Tongue and mustard is considered an incredible delicacy. Ukidei shelo lahatil kina besuda, and in order not to create jealousy at the meal, yusam lashon echad lifnei kol echad mehem. He placed a full tongue in front of all of them. So that's why when you invite 10 people, you don't make 4 or 5 of this meat, 4 or 5 pieces of chicken. It's 10 pieces of chicken, you know, enough roast for everybody in case everybody wants one of those things. That's the way you cook. I know. Exactly. And you learned it from Avraham. Right. Ki lo haya yodea Avraham erkam ugidulatam. Avraham did not really know how distinguished a group he had in front of him. Ve'im hacharitzut hagadol hazeh b'ma'at mehazman, and despite the fact that he really didn't know that these people were angels, he's reading the text very simply. What happens? Shlosha anashim means three people. And he has no clue that these are angels. Nonetheless, he brings in a very short span of time, Hevi lifneim hama'achal, v'nasan kodem hachem'a v'hachalav. First, he gave them milk. Exactly. Take a look at Pasuk Chet for a second. So in Pasuk Zion, it says, El Habakar Ratz Avraham. Then in Pasuk Chet, Vayikach Chem'a V'chalav U'ben Habakar Asher Asah. So Avraham is not going to give them milk and butter after they have meat. Of course not. Even though they were Arviyim. Why shouldn't they? Who knows? But so therefore, Abarbanel notices that b'fi shehadvarim hamur kavim ra'ui shiyochal adam b'tchila lehanhagat habriut v'achakach nasan lahem habasar.
What's more kavim?
Murkave means mixed things. Mixed like dips and things like that. That you do at the beginning of a meal. Then comes the main dish. So the chema and the chalav, that's initially. The question is, did he make them wait a half hour? Did he make them wash their mouth out? Give them a shtickle bright? Because the Gemara says, ein kinuach ela bapas. You can't really clean out your mouth thoroughly unless you have bread. So he did give them bread. Gave them matzah, according to the Medrash. Fine. Yeah. Vehanar haya mishareis umevi hamat amim umisalek hakearot meala shulchan. And one of the lads who was serving at the time brings some of the side dishes, and he removes their plates as they finished eating the dairy, removes them. The Avraham haya omeid tachata eats. He was watching them eat, standing underneath the tree. Ba'et shehayu ochlim, while they were eating, kimoshis osim hasarim al raglehem, bizman shehamelech ochel al shulchano. The ministers stand at the side of the table while the king eats at the table. Ulefi shehem kiblu et kol hakavod hazeh, and because they were the recipients and they the receivers of all of this honor and glory. Veheinichu et Avraham shiyavod et kol shemilifnehem v'hayu midabrim elav kidaber ha'adon elavdo, and they recognized this, how special they were being treated, and they spoke to him accordingly, and he spoke to them accordingly. Haya gamzeh Meha'ara al Avraham al Ma'alatam ukdushatam. This was on account of the fact that even though they were regular people, he sensed that what? They were distinguished individuals, very special people. He had no idea why. Hine hitba'er mizeh shecharad Avraham et kol acharada hazot la'ela hanashim la'anashim ha'ela mipnei shehirgish bahem shehayu anashim gidolim. Now he changes his mind. Why? Shluchei ha'el misharsa osei ritzono. Why did Avraham attend to all of this personally? So now he just throws in the towel and he says, okay, if they were regular individuals, I think he would have allowed any of the 318 people to pachka for all these guys. But since he sensed that they were indeed Misharsei Hashem Osei Ritzono, therefore he decided to handle all of this independently. I don't know what coerced Abarbanel to switch routes. At the beginning, he was painting such a beautiful picture about Avram's commitment to every one of his guests, no matter who they are. And he said, we read it, I'm not making it up, that he thought that they were what? Regular Anashim, regular people. And the manner in which he responds is something unusual. If you have a lot of help available, most people, even for special guests, will have the help do a lot. Certainly if they're just ordinary individuals. So what prompted Abarbanel to change his drift towards the end and say, you know why he did it all himself? Because he identified that they were special individuals. Inference, if they were not special individuals, he lo haya ose et kol hacharada hazot. All this tumult he would not have bothered. At the beginning, that's not the picture he wanted to paint. So I'm not 100% sure why did he change his mind and so on and so forth. But that was how he answered that particular question. The question which he gave, hardly answered, and he didn't answer well, is why the word na appears by yukach na. And having seen the Ramban, I have no idea why Abarbanel didn't notice it as well. If you look at the three psukim, which preceded this pasuk of Yukach Na Ma'at Ma'im, How many times does the word not appear? How many times does the word not appear in this little brief sequence? Starting at Pasuk Gimel. There's two. Imna matzasi chayim beinecha, al na savro me'alavdecha, and now yukach na me'atmayim. So the word appears three times in this very brief unit. Very brief unit. So now, good. Good. So if you remember correctly, we cited a machloikus how to understand the request al na sa'avar me'alavdecha. Who is im na matzasi chen beinecha al na sa'avar me'alavdecha? So if you believe that Avraham is addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand the first two nas. I understand the first two nas. Namely, and the word Adonai in that pasuk is to be written when the sofer writes it. He has to be Mekadesh Deshem. It is God's name. Remember we saw that Rashi two, and the Ramban with two interpretations. Does the sofer have to sanctify it when he writes the Lo's letters? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yun. Does he have to have in mind that I'm writing the Shem Hashem and sanctifying it by my writing? So according to one interpretation that he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the answer was yes. Then I understand why the word Na is used. You're talking to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam who came to visit you. And you're going to leave his presence by tending to these people. I can understand you use a very respectful expression. Please, I beg of you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, please don't get upset at me. Please don't leave. I'll return to you a little later. That's no problem. In which case, the only one for which the word na is a little inappropriate is yukach na. Because yukach na is definitely not being directed to, as Nechama said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's to the guest. Why do you have to beg the guest who's been traveling in the desert and he's here for a meal? Gotta beg you to eat? We have to beg you to eat. Yukach matmayim, please take some water. Yes. Okay, but no, but right. So then I would translate it please without the word na. Okay. Right? That's the way normally. If the Torah writes the word na, it means a special petition. Lashon bakasha. So I would understand why Abarbanel focuses on just that one. Why didn't he make note of the previous one? So if Abarbanel adopts the position that the previous pasuk is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have no qualms why the word na is Adonai im na matzasi chen beinecha al na sa'avar me'alavdecha. However, if the person being spoken to in that pasuk is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's speaking either to the head, to the most distinguished of the three, or to all three of them, and he just calls them my master, each one of them, why didn't you raise the question about yukach na? Why does it say al na sa'av? What do I have to beg him for? And why does he say im na matzasi chen beinecha? So the Ramban, if you now take a look at for a second. It's page 4. Page 4. So the Yanks lost last night, so that's why I didn't put any numbers of the Yankees on the sheets. Just regular old-fashioned numbers. You went to the game last night too? No? Okay. Pathetic. Okay. So the Ramban writes, V'hanachon be'enai, Shekara et kulam adonim. He called each and every one of them masters. Upana el kol echad ve'echad. And he actually addressed individually each one of the three. La rishon amar, imna matza sichein be'enecha al nasa avor. V'chein amar l'sheini. And he repeated the same speech to the second. V'chein amar l'shlishi. L'chol echad bifnei atzmo, yit chanein, imna matza sichein be'enecha al nasa avor me'al avdek. Al no sava me al avdecha. Yitchanein. Maze yitchanein. Beseech. So it is Avram who is beseeching each one of them individually to please don't pass by and please come into my house. Why would that be? And he writes, V'yukach na me'at mayim. V'rachatzu ragleichem kulchem. V'zeh derech musar v'chavod. Meirov cheftzo lehitnadev imahem. Says the Ramban very well. Normally, the beneficiary of your hosting is the guest. That's the beneficiary. When a person extends themselves to invite company, who is the beneficiary? The guest. The Ramban believes that no. Avram's commitment to the act of chesed is not because somebody needs it. You know why I am inviting you? I need it. I think it's so important. And therefore, he has to beg them. If it's for their benefit, I don't have to beg anybody. It's you're hungry, you're thirsty, you need a place to rest. But if I want you to do me a favor, and here hosting people is not because the person needs something, it's because I understand fundamentally this is my responsibility. And therefore, claims the Ramban, the word na is used repeatedly. He is talking not to the Rabbeinu Shloilam. He's talking to all three of them, not to the head, Lagadol Shebahem, as Rashi interpreted. He said, spoke to one of them who was the leader of the group. And Rashi asked, how did he know which one's the leader of the group? The guy standing in the middle. Because that's the way people travel. The most distinguished person is in the middle and flanked by his two yo-yos who are accompanying him. So, but the Ramban says no. To each one, he made this very special appeal. And Yukachna is based on the fact that he is begging them Meirov Cheftzo. Because of his desire to volunteer on their behalf, not their need. Vihine hikir bohem shehem ovrei derech ve'ein cheftzon lelamchon. He understood that these people are travelers and they don't really want to what? Sleep over. V'lachein lo bikesh mohem rak shiyukach me'at mayim lirchotz raglehem. Me'at mipnei hachom, lo seis mayim karim al nefesh ayefa, to put some water on a tired body. That's why you take some water. But he knew very well that they're not interested in sleeping over. Therefore, vayisho anu tachat ha'etz l'ruach hayom lo yavohu ba'ohel u'bemishkan. They're not interested in even coming inside. That's why, what did he say? He shoanu tachas. You don't want to come inside? Okay. You know what? At least sit here for a couple of minutes, rest underneath the shade of the tree, and we'll go forward. So according to the Ramban, the word na is indicative of the fact that he is begging them to persuade them to accede to his need, not necessarily for their needs, and that's why the word na appears all three times. all three times.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What did you discuss? I missed last week. Did you discuss at all the yukas in the passive?
Yes, we did.
Okay,
why don't you listen to the tape?
Okay.
Good. Yes.
I'm under the impression that a lot of them don't eat. I'm wrong.
Apparently you're wrong. So, Malachim don't go dressed up. Do we think Malachim dress up like regular people? They don't. They can do whatever they want. They can eat and it doesn't get... I don't think they go to the bathroom. They eat and whatever happens to it, happens to it. I can't answer... nobody knows what Malachim can do. That's all. The Torah just speaks to us in human... Because that's the way the Torah relates to us.
Rabbi,
yes?
Wouldn't Ramban tell Abarbanel that he's got to be wrong because there'd be another Vayomer between talking to Hashem and talking to the Malachim?
Interesting. They should have said Vayomer Yukach Namat Mayim. Interesting. If it's separate, maybe the Ramban. I know, but the Ramban never commented about Abarbanel.
I know, but I'm
never. But if he would, yes. He comments about Rashi and Ibn Ezra, but he never, I don't know if he ever saw him. I think it was a little later. Rashi. Rashi quoted two interpretations. I showed you the Rambam.
Yes.
The Rambam said that you have to be Mekadesh, this word, because he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Now, if you go back for a second to page number 2 for a second, this is a commentary called the Gur Aryeh, who is one of many commentaries on Rashi. On Rashi. Each one of the Rishonim spawned a whole literature about their commentary. And of course, the Rambam, more than anybody else. There are more books written about on the Rambam than any other book in Jewish history. And that's from a person who said, once I wrote my book, you don't need any more books. That's what he said. So this is the Gur Aryeh on our pasuk. And he also makes comment about the Yukachna Me'at Mayim. And he says, Yukachna. So Rashi said, Al Yudei Shliach, that Abraham did not tend to the water himself. And one of his servants, somebody brought the water for him. The Imlo came, Vo'ekach Mibayile. It should have said, I will take. Not, Yukach na me'at mayim. Ulefi Shekasheh Hare Ein HaTorah Midaber Bignut Shel Tzadik. He cites a Gemara in Bava Basra, which Rashi has developed to the nth degree, to the nth. The Ramban disagrees with this completely. He says, the Gemara says, and Gur Aryeh, as a defender of Rashi, knows that Rashi asserts this all the time, we will never find anything in the Torah text that speaks shamefully, gnai, about a tzaddik. And therefore, any time it appears as if the tzaddik is doing something wrong, what does it behoove you? Well, you better reinterpret it. Even though the text seems to say A, you have to reinterpret it to B. You must. Does anybody remember where I told you the Ramban challenged that aggressively? It was only maybe a year ago when we started Lech Lecha. Correct. And telling Sarah, Imri na achosiat. The Ramban goes to town and says, the Torah is pointing out something that Avraham did wrong. And he makes a startling statement. Who remembers the consequence of that action? Shibud Mitzrayim. We were down in Mitzrayim because of Avram's transgression. We spoke about it at great length. But the Ramban never pulls punches. But Rashi and his Parshanim do. and therefore they are a little upset. Why does the Torah write Yukachna when it certainly indicates that Avram was lacking or not acting correctly? He should have gotten the water himself. Why did he tell somebody else to get it for him? V'kan katav lach sh'asal yedei shliach v'lo ayodei asmo. That's not the style of the Torah to criticize tzaddikim. V'tirates sh'ba lahagid lecha hakatuv midat hakadosh baruch hu. The Torah is here communicating one of God's characteristics. Shehu midat deik im svivav kichut ha-se'ara. That he is much more careful with the people he is close with, svivav, those who surround him, than ordinary individual. Vilomar, ki ma she'asa Avraham ha-yedei shliach, Shileim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Libanav Al Yedei Shliach. We'll see in 2 seconds. Yes. V'chol ma she'asa Avram Al Yedei Atzmo Kigon Halechem U'sha'ar Devarim Matzinu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shileim Libanav Al Yedei Atzmo K'di'isa Baba Matzia L'hodiyacha Kichol Dirachav Emet. Namely, what zechut did we saw in the Medrash? What zechut was accrued to Avram's children by virtue of the fact that he brought the water? That he brought them water, that had water brought. What zechut? The Be'er Miriam. Good. And that was one. And what else? No. What other thing water was brought? When he hit the stone. Good. Now, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself produce? Of course he did. But did he directly bring the water to Am Yisrael? No. He used an intermediary. Who was that intermediary? Moshe or Miriam? Somebody is now responsible for the water. And the Be'er of Miriam, many say, was the episode at the end of the Yam Suf where they found the waters were bitter. They traveled for 3 days after Kriyas Yam Suf, v'lo matzu mayim, and Moshe threw the wood, v'yashev Moshe ate, and v'yimtiku hamayim. That became the Be'er Miriam, which traveled with them. And it was not the Rabbi Shalom directly, because Avraham did not provide the water directly. However, for the bread that he made and for everything else, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide? The man, that, and the slav. Both without an intermediary. So the Torah points this out, even though typically it does not act in a critical manner of tzaddikim. Here the Torah does, to let you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a truthful God and he doesn't play favorites. Midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. And if you deserve something, you get it. If you don't deserve it, you don't get it. So that's what the Gur Aryeh says on the word Yukachna.
Yukachna means please take. It doesn't.
No, let the water be taken to you. That's what it means. Let somebody bring the water to you.
No, if I said to you,
Yukachna,
please take water.
No, tikhu mayim is take water. Yes.
Make a big deal on the word that lo alei malach by Hashem.
On Pesach. Yes.
That God was, this intimate kind of redemption.
Correct.
So, and it's not so clear that we were necessarily ra'oi. It was more the time came. Obviously, there's different opinions. So, why do you think? What happened that we were able to have that kind of spoke?
That's a good question. By what virtue did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide I have to be doing that? Lo ayyadei malach, lo shliach. That's an excellent question. Let me think about that. That's a very good question. What zechut did Am Yisrael merit as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending something else?
We would have been happy with that.
Yes, no doubt. A malach or anything. After all, to execute the firstborn, he didn't do it himself. it says that there was a mashchit that went around doing it. So I don't know. I don't. It's a good question. I have to see. It's a good question. Yeah.
I'm wondering why the Gaur-Arye gave the example of Moshe hitting the stone to get the water.
Right.
Because it's supposed to be a schut. It's a gift to us.
It is, but it was not done directly by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is his point.
But what I'm saying, this is one that got Moshe into huge trouble. He didn't go into
the I know. That's why others say it's the wrong... I showed you last week the Midrash. That's what Rashi quoted. But the Midrash didn't quote that episode. It quoted the Be'er of Miriam. And that's why they sang in Parshat Ali Be'er Enula, which had nothing bad, no bad consequences. I don't know why he...
Right,
I'm not sure.
He doesn't know that.
He doesn't know. That's correct.
But he still used it.
Point number three. Yes. I want to reread Rashi in Pasuk Hey and then follow it up. I want to reread the Rashi at the beginning of Pasuk Hey. V'sa'adu libchem. So Rashi says, Batorah b'nevi'im ubiktuvim matzinu depita sa'adita. We've seen examples, texts, in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, that bread, pita is bread, sa'adita, is that which satiates you. Deliba. How do I know? Batorah v'sa'adu libchem. The word "you will be satiated" appears right after Vo'ekcha pat lechem. B'nevi'im, it says sa'ad libcha pat lechem. What will satiate your heart? Bread. B'ktuvim, this is a pasuk in the Shir Shal Yom of Rosh Chodesh, in Baruch Hinafshi, so we'll say it this Shabbos. V'lechem levav enosh yisad. Bread will enable a person to feel satiated. The halacha that is formulated based on this is that birchat hamazon, which is hazan, who satiates each and every one of us, is only recited if you eat bread. That's been the practice since Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai. So I want to share with you an article of Rav Yoel ben Nun, where he has a problem with this. And he changed his practice. I once mentioned it to you. I want to show you to inside what arguments he's using to defend his practice. So it is on page number 3. And he writes, Mikshaye hamilchama v'sakanoteha, from the difficulty that Am Yisrael will encounter when they engage in wars in the conquest of Israel, Overet HaTorah bivat achat, the Torah makes a seamless transition, El sakanot hashefa v'hahatzlacha ba'aretz hatova, to the dangers of having success and plentiful and be bountiful and successful. Eretz Nachalei Mayim, Eretz Shivat Haminim, Eretz Machatzabim, Bimheira Anu Alulim Lishkoach Et Derech Hatlaot Shel Yitziat Mitzrayim. Soon we're going to forget about the painful struggles of Mitzrayim, im achilat man bamidbar, just by eating provided food for you in the desert. Vilishkoa, and to dwell bigaava shel osher vahatzlacha, and saying kochi vaotzim yadi asoli esachayel hazeh, it is my own work. When I get into Eretz Yisrael, it's my own work that has contributed to success. Tshuvat HaTorah L'Sakana Zu Hi Birchat HaMazon. If you look at the pasuk which he quoted, it's from Parshas Ekev. So open up to Parshas Ekev for a minute. So it is Dvarim chapter 7. I think. The beginning of Parshas Ekev. So it is Dvarim. No, it's chapter 8. Perichet. It starts Pasuk Vav. Vishamarta et mitzvot Hashem Elokecha lelechet vidrachav ulyiroto. Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyacha el Eretz Tova. Eretz Nachalei Mayim. Ayonot utohomot. Good land. Lots of water. Like the rain this year. Like rain this year. Since 1992, they have never had four consecutive months of higher than average rainfall until this year. Until this year, they said the Kinneret has—it's still not maximum capacity, but it's way above it's been in the last couple of years. In fact, when I was in Israel, they had a Yom Hoda'ah at the Kotel. They always have at the Kotel. You know, they're praying for rain. So they had a Yom Hoda'ah thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the rains of this particular year. It was really nice. Ki Hashem meviyacha el Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachamayim. Eretz, Chita, Usora, and so on and so forth. Eretz, Asher lo b'miskenut tochal balechem. Mazen miskenut? A fixed amount. You're not looking what? To be a accountant. Oh, you know, I only have one piece. Nah. Lo techsar kol bo. Eretz asher avoneh barzel u'mehararea tachzov nechoshes. This is unbelievable. Now, earlier in this unit, what are you going to say? Go to Pasuk Aleph, Bet, and Gimel for a second. In Perikhet. Kol ha-mitzvah she'anochi mitzavcha yom tishmurun la'asol. Then in Pasuk Bet. V'zachar to'et kol ha-derech. Asher holidichecha Hashem elokecha ze 40 shana ba-medbar. I want you to remember all of your difficulties. Lema'an anotcha l'nasotcha. Because I want you to remember all that suffering. Lodat eit asher bilvavcha ha-tishmur mitzvotav imlo. I want you to remember that. And how do we remember it? With the mitzvah of Yachalta v'savato v'erachta al aretz hatova shenasana. How does Birchat HaMazon remind us any of this? The second paragraph. No delecha. What do we thank you for? Al shehotseisanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Ufditanu mi'beit avodim. So every day when you eat a piece of bread, you have to remind yourself of what? Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to remember, I was a slave. And therefore, all that comes along about remembering being a slave, to treat the minorities, the yatom, the almana, the ger, we make a big deal of the fact that the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. That phrase only appears once in the Torah. V'ahavtem esager, 38 times. 38 times in the Torah. V'ahavtem esager. And so we have to be very, very careful. Very careful. And it's through Birchat HaMazon, and to remember Toratcha Shlimadetanu, and Beritcha Shechasamta Bibsarein, Vatorah Shlimadetanu, and for the land that you gave us, Eretz, Chemda, Tova, Urechava, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. So all of our historical perspectives are contained in the mitzvah Birkat HaMazon. Because it is a very simple way for the Torah to guarantee that what? We will constantly remember this. Everybody has to eat a couple of times a day. And every time that you eat, you'll eat a piece of bread. You'll recite this Birkat HaMazon. These ideals will be reinforced in your mind. Just one second. So, Habracha HaYichida, lines 5. Shahatara Mechayevet Befeirush. Achalta V'savata U'beirachta V'chashuv Lahadgish. She'ein zu rak bracha al mazon, ela al yitziat Mitzrayim, ba'al ha'aretz hatova. Beli birchat nodelecha, ein yotz in yidei chovah klal. Without reciting that second paragraph, we do not fulfill the mitzvah. And what is? How about the third bracha? What is it specifically thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? What? For Yerushalayim and the Mikdash. That's what it asks for. For Al Mishkan Kvoidecha, Al Tzion Mishkan Kvoidecha, and so on and so forth. So then, skip a couple of lines. Oh, no, you don't have to. Anachnu nimtza'im kayom bidiyuk v'matzav hazeh. Adayin anu nilchamim neged ha'amim hatzorerim otanu misaviv u'bitochenu. The same conflict that the Jews experienced at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim in their way into Israel, we're fighting that same battle today. Avol Rubeinu, the majority of us, kvar yoshvim bibatim tovim. We're already sitting in comfortable homes. Ochlim lasova megidulei artzenu. We eat till we're satiated from that which grows in our land. Yam Hamelech Nosvim Machtsave Hagaz Biyam Hagadol. Today we're extracting from one of the largest gas pockets in the whole Middle East, the whole world. We are now exporting gas all across the world. Vihine Rabim Vitovim, lots of good people. Ochlim lisova, seudot basar v'dagim. They eat fish and meat. Umitchamkin mibirchat hamazon shel Torah, and they excuse themselves from birchas hamazon using a good excuse. Bitana lo achanu lechem. I didn't eat bread. That's very nice. Ani pogesh gam talmidei chachamim. Shemivarchim Birchat HaMazon Rak B'Shabbat. They recite Birchat HaMazon only on Shabbos, when there is a chiyuv to eat lechem. Chiyuv. Ani mitzateit lahem Lashon HaRambam. I quote to all of these Talmidei Chachamim the Rambam's expression. Mitzvat asei min haTorah Livarech achar achilat mazon. Ve'eno chayav min haTorah, ela im kein sova. Ve'lo tziv pat. The Rambam never said a bloody word about what?
Bread.
He says the obligation of Birchat HaMazon is when you are satiated. Satiated. Lifachot, I tell these people, Tosifu nodelecha, say the second bracha of Birchat HaMazon acharei barei nefashos. After you say bar, thank you Rabbi Nishalam for the meat, for the fish, for the vegetables, say nodelecha, okay, beli chatima, without saying baruch atah Hashem al haaretz v'al hamazon, so nobody will criticize you that you're making a bracha at the time. Fine. And therefore, Rav Yoel said, from now on, whenever I eat a meal to which I am satiated and I don't eat any bread, I recite Birchat HaMazon. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing!
All four brachot. all four brachot. Because today, the Gemara, when the Gemara says, when Rashi is quoting the Psukim, and the Gemara says that Svi'ah is only from Pas, that's the way they ate. The only way they got satiated, and that was a meal. Today, things have changed. We don't eat bread in order to eat a meal to be satiated. You eat bread when the halacha says you have to eat bread. Other than that, who eats bread? So therefore, he said that Svi'ah, the way the Rambam understood it, was you make Birchat HaMazon when you are Sover. So I remember Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Lebracha, said that Rav Yoel approached him as well to do this. And he said, logically, he's 1,000% right. But what can I do? My father only benched when he ate bread. I'm not going to change what my father did. That's what he said. I'm not going to change what my father and grandfather have done. However, based on the fact that he was right, Rav Aaron took a neder that every single meal he's going to eat bread to start the meal, to be mechayev himself in Berachas HaMazon. But he is 100% right. Look at the tributes. If we were to pay any attention, it's an opportunity on a day-to-day basis to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember our commitment to Torah, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Medinat Yisrael. It's not just on Shabbos when you say the Tefillah L'Shalom HaMedina, but it's every time, 2-3 times a day perhaps, an opportunity to do so. I'm not saying you have to do it. He would say to eat a little cereal for breakfast, but if you sit down for dinner and you eat a meal at which one is satiated, it is appropriate to recite Birchat HaMazon. So here is the article which he wrote to advance his point, and it's a very powerful argument, as most of his Divrei Torah are. Yes? What? No, that's what he told the Talmid Chachamim. Say no delach, at least after Barei Nefashot, say no delach. Because Barei Nefashot thanks God for the food, that's the equivalent of Hazan, but at least say no delach. He himself, as I said all three Birchat HaMazon. All three brachot.
When did Birchat HaMazon become a Jewish thing?
It's in the Torah. I just read the pasuk in the Torah. The achalta v'savata uveirachta. Didn't you go to Mo's? You got to go to Mo's. Don't you go to Mo's? That store, Modell's. Got to go to Mo's. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and told us you got a bench. In fact, according to tradition, Moshe wrote the bracha of Hazan. Yehoshua offered the brach of Nodeh, and David and Shlomo together composed Racheinu, according to the Gemara. According to the Gemara. Yes. Question. Yeah. Good. Now, one last point. One last point, then we'll continue. We'll take some care of business in a minute. One last point. If you go to page 5 for a second. The Rashbam makes reference to a famous Mishnah in Masechet Avot. Avraham only tells them, "Va'ekcha paslechem, v'sa'adu lipchem achar ta'avoru." That's all he says. Ki al kein avartem al avdechem, vayomru kein ta'aseh kasher dibarta. Do exactly what you said, namely a shtikel bright and what? And a little water, and that's it. Then the Torah says, Vayimaher Avraham ha'ohela el Sarah, and he says, prepare the bread. Ve'el ha'bakar rats Avraham. He didn't say anything about a bakar to whom? To the three guys. He only said, yukach namayim, and ve'ekha paslachem. That's it. So the Rashbam cites the Mishnah in Masechet Avot, that what should we be doing? Emor ma'at vaseh harbeh. So the pasuk is demonstrating that. He tells the guy, I'm going to bring you some water and bread, and comes back with a lot more than bread. He comes back with a feast. Exactly. That's what the Rashbam says. Okay. Just a couple of notes. Number one is, there are two Wednesdays left until Pesach. Is anybody coming Wednesday, a day before B'dikas Chametz Day? Are people coming? How many people are prepared to come? I'm prepared to give a share. But if we're going to have three people, four people, how many people can make, I see you can't make them, but are planning to come that day? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. That's what I thought. Okay, so I'll let you know. Just check the shul thing. Next week, we're definitely going to have a shir next week. Okay, fine. Next
Thursday night, the rabbi.
Tomorrow night is a Haggadah shir. Tomorrow night is a Haggadah shir. It'll be in the main sanctuary on the Haggadah. 8:15.
And what's the site, the Birmingham County site?
BCBM, Bergen County Beit Midrash. That's probably .org, if I'm not mistaken. Or you can find also on YU Torah. Just look for my picture. Either YU Torah or BCBM, Bergen County Beit Midrash, and all of my viewers. Not a share, initial share.
Hi. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Unrelated to this. It's a Pesach one. About a year ago, we sat at a table at a bar mitzvah with my siblings, and we all discussed sous vides.
Discuss what?
Sous vides. Immersion, sous vide. Cooking. Immersion.
Seaweed?
Sous vide. It maintains the temperature of the water for a very long time. So at the time, we had been discussing with Leora whether or not she needed to purchase a separate one for Pesach. And I believe you had said no, because it stays immersed in the water and your food stays in the water inside of a bag. However, in using mine, actually, after that, I went online and I bought one. This discussion was so fascinating, I decided I needed to buy one. Then I used it for Pesach, and then I used it for Chametz. But the bag opened and stuff came out, so I'm assuming now I should get a new one for Pesach.
A new bag, at least, yeah.
No, a new...
A new thing.
Yeah, because then it's circulating the water.
What was in it? Was it something that was Chametz, though? Do you remember?
I mean, it was meat with seasoning, but I couldn't tell you.
Okay, yeah.
It probably had mustard in it.
Was it hot?
It's like 133 degrees.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, I would get another one.
Get another
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I...
Yeah. I know, I've been mentioning him in Shmon Esrei every day. Did you see Zachary Baumel? Wow.
Now they've got,
I don't know,
looking for the others.
Why didn't they get the others?
Maybe they just haven't identified them yet.
Wow.
I don't know. They could all be buried in different areas.
Wow.
They dug up certain areas.
Yeah, wow.
Zachary Baumel, they got his body back.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. After 37 years.
Okay, I apologize for not being here last week.
It's okay.
We talked about it. But in the beginning, when Abraham gets up to run